I call this meeting to order for the Committee on Budget and Finance on Monday, November 22nd at 12:02 p.m. Moving on to the second item of business, roll call.
Senator Ramirez.
Present.
Senator Fitzpatrick.
Present.
Senator Lewis.
Present.
Senator Noble.
Present.
Senator Palayo.
Present.
Senator Phillips.
Present.
Senator Thompson.
Present.
Senator Howell.
Present.
A quorum is present.
All right, perfect. Moving on to the sixth item of business, 6A, financial reviews. So we're going to be seeing financial reviews from Campus Esquire, Undergraduate Research Journal, Elections, and then just an update on the Nevada Workshop. So we'll begin with Campus Esquire. So feel free to begin whenever you need. Do you need anything from me on the video or?
Oh, no, you're
okay. Perfect. Go ahead.
So hi, everyone. My name is Jessica Robertson. I'm currently the Internal Development Director for Campus Esquire. Overview of our program, we are a safe transportation service for students, faculty, and staff at the university. We take safe rides to or from campus after dark every night. Our current program, we have roughly 21 students in ASUN Campus Esquire, and we run from 5 p.m. to 1 a.m. We offer a weekly shuttle route, a fixed route nightly shuttle when needed. It's currently not running. A shuttle for weekend retails to Winco and Walmart, and then a community shuttle for civil engagement opportunities, as well as an airport shuttle. We currently have 10 minivans, two 12-passenger vans, one 4-transit van, and two 25-passenger shuttle vans. Our budgeted allocated is student wages at $205,000. Our operating is at $59,300. Our tap ride is at $32,099.21 for a total of $296,399.21. Our current spending date, and this is as current as 11/16/21, our student wages are at $35,849.80. Our fringe is $184.57. Our operating is $25,591.67. These student budgets cover student wages. This includes a dispatcher, a driver, our fixed route for the evening shuttles. This is currently on hold because the Amtrak shuttle is running, which is paid by the university. And then our fixed Saturday and Sunday retail shuttles, as well as our Connect civil engagement shuttles, our staff meetings and trainings, and then any and all student director hours. Our fringe budgets are standard percent based on the amount of wages. Our general operating costs include parking passes, which this year were $5,480. Our airport pickup fee, which was $35. Our gas is currently at $7,241.49. Our cell phone charges is at $1,665.90. Our GPS is at $321.26. Our vehicle repair, which is a big one, is $14,863.87. We did get a refund from insurance of $4,565.40. This one is a super big number. Number of copies was $6.48. Our drug testing is just under 400 at $399. And then dry cleaning this semester was $75, and our cleaning supplies was $171. For the rest of the year, we will be adding on our nightly on-demand shuttle. We've noticed that the amateur shuttle, it's not good for students. I've personally seen it sit at a spot for 45 minutes without moving. So that's not picking up any of our students and taking them home safely, whereas our shuttle, we can pick up and drop off in about 25 minutes around campus, including all of the extra spots like Uncommon and Highlands. And then our gas expenses, obviously, we keep having to fill up our tanks, so gas is going to keep going up. We will be adding a few more uniforms. We've hired some people, so I need extra sizes that we don't have. And then phone and GPS tracking is just always going to be an expense. For tap ride and double ride, the company recently got bought out, So that's the software that helps us allocate rides. We're not sure when they want us to start using their new service, but I've tested it and there's a lot of kinks that need to be fixed before we can use it for our service. Obviously, hiring has been a big thing. We usually run at about 60 students. We currently have 21 and we're about to lose 7 at the end of the semester. So if anything, we're gonna need to cut down our hours because our wait time has increased from average of 10 minutes to 25 to 30 minutes for waiting to get a ride. And then last order of business, working on replacing some of the tires. They're just starting to show wear and tear and they're getting really old, so we need to update those. But our current total number of services and rides is 6,295, which is pretty low considering past years we've had like 46,000 rides up to 50,000. But I think it just has a lot to do with how much staff we have, how much availability we have, and just the overall service. Do you have any questions?
Are there any questions from the body?
Senator Lewis?
Yeah, I just have a general question. Do we have on-site gas pumping for the gas?
So our current gas, we can go to any of the gas stations around us. We prefer Maverick, and we use our gas cards there. We always get gas at least 3/4 of the tank. So Maverick, Jackson's, any of those is where we fill up our gas, and we fill it up every night.
Okay.
Senator Fitzpatrick?
So I had two questions. One, what is cell phone charges?
So we use a cell phone that we use to call people, that we were not using our private phone. And that's, it's just like an old little Samsung phone, not gonna lie. But that's what we use, and we also use, we have a phone at the back that we transfer from front desk, and that's the cell phone that they're calling to put in calls to us.
Okay.
If you're called for the on-demand service.
And then follow-up,
yeah.
If I may?
Follow-up.
So since you're like very understaffed, do you think that you could allocate some of the funds that you're not spending on salary into replacing the tires?
Maybe. I could talk to our director of van service and transportation. He would be the one to have the fine print. We did also, our beloved 6 Plus got in an accident last week. Mm-hmm. Someone drove it into the parking garage.
Oh.
So it's a little messed up. I would have to talk to him about that, but maybe we could do that. My only concern is we did raise the wages and we're still not getting people to stay. Mm-hmm. They'll come, they'll work for us for a week or two, and then they'll decide, oh, I could go work at McDonald's for $15, and they'll quit. So every time, even though I've interviewed 25, 30 people, I've maybe kept like 5.
Senator Noble?
So, I suppose to me it seems a little bit ridiculous that your largest expenditure is on parking passes. I'm wondering if there's been any sort of attempt to broach an agreement with parking services, because it seems like, just like with police services, they should have some sort of, at the very bare minimum, a discount for campus escort. Probably a certain segment of parking that is completely compensated. Any
right.
Reached out to them?
Yeah. Currently, we have about 3 to 4 vans that are allowed to park in the silver 14 packs at the back of the Joe. But we also store up with the extra like lot up at Blue Lot. It has been an issue in the past, especially for us personal drivers, because we're here so late. We have to get a parking pass, and it's been hard to work with the parking services because I don't feel that they want to lose out on the money from our parking passes, but I agree.
Okay.
Yeah. Senator Lewis?
I know we were discussing about having like a hiring or interview like session here at the Dome, like the ballrooms or something. I was wondering if we needed to transfer any funds for you guys to do that, or if you guys were anticipating any extra funds for that.
I could work, if you wanted to like work on something with that, I would like to go and do that.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I think we need to make I've done tabling events before for ASUN, and it's very hard when there's so many programs to talk about. It would be nice if Campus Us Work just had its own table to talk about our resources, because then maybe students would be more enticed to come and work for us.
Yeah, and just to add on to that, I spoke with Director Rodriguez, and basically what we were saying is either a, because you know, I think over the summer you guys had a virtual like job fair where there's like on-site interviews and then you just put your resume in there. I'm sure a lot of students would appreciate having that like in person. So I think that could be a collaborative thing with anyone who is needing student workers in ASUN, like specifically. We'd be able to have like that kind of knit career fair, just to get you guys enough people to be able to keep running Campus Us Work. I think that that would be really good to do. So yeah, just a little clarification on that. But any other questions from the body? Okay, seeing none, thank you so much for coming in and doing this review for us. And we'll keep in touch for that career fair. If there's anything else you may need, feel free to let us know.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, perfect. So moving on to the next financial review, we'll be doing one on the Undergraduate Research Journal. Feel free to come onto the table.
Hi, everybody. How's it going? It's great to see you all again. I brought paper because just so we could have a hand. I will happily send this around for everybody. So I want to give you kind of an update. We actually, this is probably the most excited I've been about the current status of NSERG all year, so I'm very excited to share it with you, and then I'll go over this handout. So at the beginning of this academic year, we were down to one senior editor, and then our senior editor, this was Jamie Christopher, resigned because she got a great lab job that would help her get into med school. It was like that natural next fit. And so we had an unforeseen temporary lull because we were trying to get new people hired. But as of today, I have hired a full team, and I almost don't know what to do with myself because I'm so excited because I actually have staff now. But so this is a really great place. It's almost like a starting spot for the year. We made an adjustment with Director Rodriguez about what we're going to do with our budget, and I wanted to show you what we've done, and then we can go over any questions. The NSERG budget is insanely simple compared to what you just heard from Campus Escort. So if you look on page one, this is the new approved budget, and then if you turn the page to page three, this was the older budget. So let's start on page three. So as you can see, we had wages, we had quite a bit for travel, we have hosting and general fees and operations. The reason general fees and operations was $3,000 was because we were doing quite a few print and search journals at the end of the year. And if you look at page four, you can see our student wage details. And we had it allocated for three senior co-editors. Now, the way that NSERG is staffed, we have senior editors who are students, and then we have junior editors. And in the past, the junior editors were volunteer. And I started coming to this question of, why don't we make the junior editor role more substantive and then pay them so they're actually getting paid for their time? And so there's some things that we've been able to do. There's no cost increase with this budget allocation. What we did is we've decided to move the journal from a print process to an online publication. This frees up a vast majority of our general supplies, so we were able to decrease down to $500 for this first one, and we'll make adjustments in the next fiscal year. There still will be supplies and swag that NSERG is going to want to buy, so we left some there. But the vast amount of that majority was able to be saved and go straight into paying student editors. The other thing that has changed is NSERG is the Nevada State Undergraduate Research Journal, and it's open to all NG students in the state. So this means UNR, community colleges, and UNLV. However, in the past, like 2 years ago, UNLV started Spectra, which is their own undergraduate research journal. And this was something that the editors were kind of always balancing because we're open to all, but we also were paying for a trip to have the senior editors fly down to UNLV and try and convince students to publish. However, if they already have their journal, not only is that not necessarily a great use of our funds, but that's not going to set us up to be good partners with UNLV if we're trying to poach their students. So I also adjusted that travel down. And what I'm going to challenge my team to do is let's focus on the community colleges in Northern Nevada. How could we get them to start publishing? And so that could actually be, we don't have to need that much money, but we can go out and actually try and get that. So we're always going to accept, we would always accept a publication from UNLV, but let's set us, ourselves up to be good collaborators with them rather than put it in this weird opposition, because there's no problem if they want to have their own journal. So all of that money was able to be shifted. So now we are going to have a team every year. We learned from this last year that 3 senior editors was too many, because people would run out of stuff to do, and they're like, I would love to like earn my job. And so what we did is we, 2 senior editors is a great fit. We always try and stagger it so there's one who will be staying longer than the other, so we don't have complete turnover. Then what we have is we have 2 junior editors. So you can see the wage detail for what we've done for them on page 2. This is the current one. So we were able to give them raises according to what we're doing for student workers for ASUN. So the senior editors are making $1 more now per hour. And or $1.50 more per hour. And then the junior editors can work up to 10 hours a week and they will be paid for it. We had Deb Brady is the new, like the most senior editor on this tab. She was a junior editor last year. She was a HURA recipient, so she's done undergraduate research and she's actually worked on this. We just hired Alejandra Cervantes Espinoza, so she's going, those are our 2 senior editors. And we just confirmed that we have 2 junior editors who have signed on. I want to just give you a quick idea of why we wanted to give this wage increase for the junior editors. Like none of this is like, but I really liked the process. In the past, our junior editor's main job was to do grammar and readability reviews. Like that was it. They would go through and like fix the writing. And I wanted to make, not only, then they're not that engaged in the team, and I want them to really be a part of the publishing process. So we've expanded their role. We're going to create an evaluation system with this full team. They're going to be looking at clarity of writing and grammar, but that's only going to be one component. And they're not responsible for fixing it all. If it's to a point where it's not readable, that's when we should say, this is an automatic go to the writing center, because we have staff support here at the university. They're also going to start looking at, do these manuscripts have a research question or a scholarly objective or creative objective? Do they have literature? Is it formatted? Are there citations? We've had some manuscripts that have been submitted without a literature section at all. And then if people get an R&R, which is revise and resubmit, they get very confused. And so we want to come up with more of a metric. So then what we're going to do is, the junior editors are, does this manuscript hit all of these basic standards of what we're looking for? This will also get them trained in what's the difference between research and evaluation, so whether something needs an IRB or not, so everyone will get that training. The senior editors now are going to start doing a review of the manuscripts. And they're going to do their own pass at it. They also work with a faculty reviewer. So there's someone who knows the science more than they do, so they can go through it. But that way, every manuscript will get 2 reviews. One from a student who is the senior editor, one from a faculty member. So that kind of gets more of a system of rigor going on. We're also going to have more metrics involved, so that way people can actually go through this process. But that's actually pulling people in, giving them more responsibility, and then paying them, which I think is just a better use of the resources. So we have, during the year, they can work, we have summer hours for the senior editors right now, not the junior editors. If we end up having more momentum, we actually could adjust again and have student editors get paid. The other thing I tend to do over the summer is if a senior editor wants to continue working at like 40 hours a week, I'll pay the remainder out of my budget. So we'll always stick on budget for this. The last thing that we have is some hosting, and that is going to be, this is might be the area, this budget's actually a couple hundred under of what our original allocation is. I want to let the NSERGE editors get some decision making about how they want to contribute with this fund. We're working on a new symposium, which used to have the name of the Nevada State Undergraduate Research Symposium, which is very long and very boring in my opinion of a name. Anyway, it's not a boring event, but we're in the process of changing this to a collaborative event called Wolfpack Discoveries. This is where research, so first off, better name, I'm very excited. But it's where undergraduate research, the Honors College, Career Studio, Service Learning, and anyone from courses or any other funding can present about their research. We're in the process of trying to make it more of a conference. So So a natural area where some hosting could be contributed is to that event, but I want the senior editors to have a say. So that's just one opportunity. There's going to be three of those events a year, so they can pick that up. It's just a natural platform. I'm paying for everything. It would be tabling, swag, anything they want to contribute. But also if they want to go to a career fair, if they want to go and do anything to get people or invite potential authors, student authors, to come and have like a coffee session, that's what I'm thinking. So we're, all of these things are gonna be up for grabs, but I really think this is more in alignment with what are our priorities, which is we don't need to print a bunch, like it's always a guess on how much to print, and then it's hard to get that out anyway. We're moving the Undergraduate Research Journal to the Undergraduate Research website, so that way we can get rid of the old nsearch.com website. That will happen there, so we're managing that anyway. In a nutshell, that's kind of what it is. I'm trying to streamline where we can, and then really, let's put the money where we want to get this objective. My goal for the editors, always, is it's very difficult, or we're always having this, like, six semesters in, Sandy and I in particular, how do we get momentum on this journal? It sounds like it should be something really easy. The editors work exceptionally hard to get students to submit, not even just to get published, but just to submit. So my goal for this new team is going to be, how do we use this resource with four paid people of different amounts and different expertise areas to try and get some momentum? So we want to work with classes. Maybe some of the senior classes or areas like that could have their papers submitted as a special issue. We work, undergraduate research has an opportunity for their final written deliverable to be submitted to NSERCH. So the editors can come and do presentations in any of these groups. I can arrange meetings. My job will be really to facilitate them to do that. My goal is, though, if we could get one journal ready to go and the next one set up and then they're working on issue three out, now all of a sudden we're building something and we can start really working on the numbers. But I keep hoping that we'll get past this point when we're like, well, now we have momentum and we can start building. We're still working on hitting the momentum. And then we're so this new system, though, the hope is the junior editors, at least one, will want to continue on and become the senior editor, so that way we don't have so much attrition and knowledge loss every year. So the senior editors, we are looking for juniors and seniors, junior editors, freshmen and sophomores. And we try to really give them as many opportunities as possible to be engaged and really make an impact with the scholarship. So that's kind of, it's a pretty simple budget, but I got some big goals for it. And I'm always happy for input, especially on anything that you would like to see.
Senator Fitzpatrick.
Okay, so I had a question and a comment.
Yes.
So when I'm looking at like page one, under the travel budget, on the like first, the line
item. Oh, it says 850. Yeah. I need to update that. Yes.
Okay, so I was just wondering about that. Okay, perfect. And then also, I know for a lot of STEM majors, like I think biochem,
mm-hmm.
we have a senior thesis class, so I
yes.
think that those would be like really good classes to go
great.
And talk to. Yeah.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Are there any other questions from the body?
Dr. Kelly, just for record's sake, can you just state your name?
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm Tanya Kelly. I'm the director of undergraduate research.
Thank you. So I just have a question regarding the travel section. I know it was reduced, but I was just wondering if there was maybe any intention, especially with the implementation of some of the research classes in high schools, like AP Capstone, AP Research, AP
mm-hmm.
Seminar, if maybe there was some sort of effort that could be done to go out to those high schools in the Reno area
mm-hmm.
so you can bridge that gap and maybe recruit more of those members. Because I know I went through that program and thought it was really useful.
That's great. I'll definitely mention that to the editors. That would be lovely. We're really wanting to think about that bridging in, however anyone can come to you in our or other publishing. So high schools, we could do that, and community colleges as well. That's a great idea. Thank you.
Okay. Are there any other questions from the body? Senator Thompson?
Well, so I wanted to ask about, so the general operations you guys were able to cut down by reducing the print copies that
yes.
you're going to be providing. Is that $500 going to cover the cost to be able to have the host website for the research journal, or did you mention that the Department of Undergraduate Research is going to be...
Undergraduate Research is moving NSERCH onto our page, so that way there will be no web costs associated with having that. So that's it's mainly just swag, printing, like any materials or supplies the editors want. And some of this, this is the first time we're having this level of budget. But I can't even remember the last time we purchased any sort of swag or posters or printing things for events. So we want to have some there so there's something to work with. I do anticipate once we get the full team up and we're actually working and sort of see a couple of months at least of how everything's going with this new structure, or at least this semester or so, there might be some minor tweaks, but I really do think that this investment in the students is going to pay off.
Dr. Rodriguez.
I would love nothing more than to get rid of a website. I mean, if Christian is responsible for like 7 websites right now.
We're definitely working on that. We actually have a draft of the EdSearch text that was from EdSearch.com. And I'm in the process with the new editors. One of their first tasks is to go through that. We're going to make sure we know how to post it, and we will let you know as soon as we can, and we can just have it like this website's not active redirect, so that way we can just remove that.
The websites are important to the student publications.
Yes.
That way they have their, at least as independent as they can be, but yeah, thank you for, and to the Office of Undergraduate Research and your VP over there for agreeing to do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is there any other, Senator Noble?
So I know that for graduate research, certainly, I'm not sure if this is also the case for undergraduate research, but oftentimes researchers will pursue grants and pursue certain amounts of outside money to fund their research that will then also go to fund parts of the institution. I know that as a Tier 1 research university, part of our school's main, I suppose, non-donor-related source of income is grant research proposals and such. I was wondering how that affects the budget here, if it even would affect the budget, how many of our student researchers are pursuing outside grants and such.
Sure. So this is an interesting conversation because it doesn't directly impact our budget. What it does impact is direct our uptake, who submits. Because if someone, let's say you have a faculty member who's had a grant and a student is working on the grant, one way they could get this publication is by going through EdSearch. However, if the research is, if the PI or the faculty mentor wants it going to a different venue that has a higher research impact factor, they will always direct it to a higher place. And then the student will be just one of the authors. So it kind of depends on if you have a mentor who wants the student to write something and it's theirs, whereas otherwise they're working on this work and they'll put the faculty. And so then they'll go to a different journal. So what I'm wanting to do, one of the reasons we're trying to get this momentum, is actually get more research out to see if we can increase our impact factor. The big call, though, is I am not sure, have any of you had any sort of publication experience yet? It's okay if you haven't.
I didn't.
Okay. So when you go through a review process with like a Tier 1 journal, the reviews can be really rough to go through because there's absolutely no standard on how you write. Like, so if you have a good grad mentor, they'll train you on how to write a constructive review. But you also will have reviewers that are like, this human is garbage, and you're like, excuse me, like weird stuff out of nowhere. Or they'll tell you to completely redo their work. So the benefit, what we want to focus on with this is we want to help train students on how to get ready for a big publishing process that is still peer review, but much more constructive and understanding of where a student is and what they can do and what they can't do. So what this will do is it will give you more guidance on what would need to be changed and how to do that. That's actually a big requirement if you're going to be a faculty reviewer for this. How do you give feedback for someone that you know is an undergraduate who has to learn somewhere? So you'll still get that process. So what we're really trying to focus on is, for instance, undergrad research really encourages, and we try and push as many neuro students, community-based, or even prep students. Prep is an option. That's our freshman and sophomore award. They're usually not quite ready for a publication because they're just learning research, but it is an option. But for our neuro students, that's what we're really trying to do because they had to apply for the award, so they got the funding, even if it's part of a PI's work. They're more open to publishing in that venue. So what we're trying to do is really just be like, we have to be very aware of the world of what's happening with a PI. If a project hits a certain level, they're not going to want it to go to EdSearch, and that's just always going to be the case. So we really want to work on how do you get student training, and I think this is something the student editors, now that we have a full team, can help us emphasize on that message. So coursework if you have one of those bigger classes that you're writing something, could actually be a really great spot for this. Learn how to write a publication that you're doing at the end and get that training. So it's a weird combination. We want them to go for as big of a journal as possible, but if you publish with us, the requirement is that the faculty mentor doesn't write the thing. It's the student's responsibility to learn how to do it. And that's also, we have more guidance on and support in the process, which is why we have the junior and senior editors helping out.
All right.
Do you have any follow-up on that?
No,
I know that's a kind of long answer, but it's an interesting relationship.
That was quite a bit to digest. I suppose that, however, if a grant would influence your capacity, wouldn't that sort of indirectly influence the expenditures that you are like making for, I guess it would be general operations?
We probably, at this point, no. It would be like the student would be getting the funding. It wouldn't be coming to NSERD. The only way that we would be able to offset costs in that way is if undergraduate research got funding that would actually go towards NSERD publications.
Okay.
There's a possibility that that could happen in a couple of these grants if we had this, but it would still be, I have to write them and get them. So it's open.
It's a small possibility.
It's a small possibility. I'm always open to it because one of the reasons that undergraduate research took on the stewardship is this is now one of my like primary responsibilities.
Gotcha.
So I'm always going to be looking for more money, more venues, more ways to enhance it. But as of right now, this money is very important for helping it stay steady as we try and get to that critical threshold.
Awesome.
Perfect, thank you. Is there any other questions from the body? Okay, seeing none, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you guys, it was great to see you.
And then as we transition into the next financial review, Senator Noble, I sent you a Zoom link. I would really love it just for the safety of everyone in here. We're pretty close together and we can't stay 6 feet. If you could just step outside and join on Zoom, I would appreciate it just because you're coughing a little bit.
So Senator Ramirez, if I might object, I did go see my doctor about that. It is post-nasal drip. It is disgusting. However, it is also not contagious. Rest assured, if it was anything that would jeopardize my colleagues, I would not be in the building right now.
Okay.
If that's all right with you.
That's fine. That's okay. Okay, so then moving on to the next item, or our next financial review, we'll do from the Director of Elections for the Elections Account. You're here. Perfect. Sorry, I didn't see you for a second. Feel free to introduce yourselves for the record, or yourself for the record, and then we can begin.
Hello. My name is Dawson Frost. I'm one of our co-directors of elections, for the record. And I'm just going to present on our budget today. So thank you for having me chair and committee. Our budget is pretty small, so there's not a ton to it. I think we really are excited this year to go back to in-person events, and I think the budget reflects that. So we really just have three expenditures. The first of which is our elections barbecue, or maybe not a barbecue, but some event where we provide food for students and they can come and learn about elections and how to vote. And kind of more of a social event to learn about elections. Last year, this event cost $1,675.55, and that provided 50 hamburger box lunches and 50 hot dog box lunches. Myself and co-director Vasco anticipate expanding this event to accommodate more people. So we do have an increased cost of $2,200 to up to $2,200. We're kind of exploring maybe more cost-effective options so that we can accommodate more people with a similar budget or even a lower budget than that. So, and our second line item is budgeting for tabling, to buy supplies for tabling, mostly just like candy, because I know students are not always the most eager to stop and talk to people if you're just passing out flyers and things. And we budgeted $100 for that. And really, the tabling is just for candidate recruitment during the filing period to make sure people know that candidate recruitment is open, that they can file and where to file. And then also during elections, just so people have time to ask questions on how to vote and things. And then finally, our third line item is for refreshments and snacks at the candidates meeting, our 8 candidate debates, and ballot question town hall. So we don't have a quote yet for how much those snacks and drinks are going to cost, but we budgeted $150 per event to purchase like cookies, lemonade, water, just to make those events maybe a little more fun and incentivize people to come to them because they don't always have the best attendance. And then with those 10 events, the total cost for that would be $1,500. So with those three things, our budget would be $3,800, which would subtract from the $3,858.80 that's currently allocated in our budget, and it would leave a balance of $58.80 moving into the next year.
Okay. Is there any questions from the body? Senator Thompson?
In order to reduce the cost of that election barbecue, have there been any considerations to work with the Department of Programming to see if they would be able to use some of their resources and combined with yours to be able to reach a larger amount of students?
Yeah, so we're thinking about working with programming. Also kind of with the barbecue, we're trying to keep it as simple as possible because elections can kind of get crazy during the week, so we don't always have a ton of help too just because a lot of ASU and officers are running. But I think one of the things we talked about was looking at like porta subs, like maybe having them provide sandwich platters. But yeah, we're still kind of exploring our options there just to kind of cut costs a little bit, because I think we can lower the cost from like $16.75 per plate pretty easily. So.
Okay. Any other questions? Dr. Rodriguez?
It's more of a statement. I mean, ASUN1 and ASUN elections moved out of under ASUN. And to give it some autonomy over in the Center for Student Engagement, it's awkward when what if an officer in the program board is running for office? So you don't want to give folks any extra time that would be unfair to the other candidates. So just know that they're operating in terms of how do we do this so we're not giving anybody any extra airtime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Perfect. Thank you. Is there any other, or are there any other questions? Okay, well, seeing none, thank you so much for coming in. Feel free if you need any help with any of these event plannings. I'm sure any of us would be very, very excited to do some outreach. So, thank you.
Awesome, thank you all so much.
Yay. Okay, moving on to the next. This is going to not be a financial review, but just an update on the Nevada Wolf Club operations. Perfect. Hi. Feel free to...
Can you bring up the presentation?
Oh, yeah.
Or if everyone has it, she can just
have it.
You
have it?
Okay.
Is it this one right here? Or this
it's
this
one? That one.
Okay.
Partner for success.
Yep. Just in case. So. All right. So feel free to let me know whenever you're ready to move on
to the next slide.
Yeah.
Sounds perfect.
And then before we begin, feel free to introduce yourself just for the record. Thank you.
No problem.
Leslie,
you want to share your screen? Oh, yeah, you're right. Sorry.
Oh.
Was that it, Austin?
I was just going to say, would you mind sharing that presentation on Zoom as well?
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Gotcha. Okay, perfect.
Cool.
If we're all set up, ready
perfect.
To go.
Well, hi everyone, my name is Amy Lewis. I am the director of the Nevada Wolf Shop. Really great to get to be here in person this year. Last year I did this via Zoom, so I'm happy to get to be here with you guys. So thank you for taking the time and having me. I am an employee of Barnes & Noble College Booksellers, and as I'm sure you know, the ASUN has partnered with us to operate the bookstore, but the store is still owned by the students. We're always making sure that people still realize that Barnes & Noble didn't buy the store, that the students still own the store, and it's operated by Barnes & Noble College. So if you guys are talking with other people about the store, that is kind of what's going on. So really what we're here to do is to elevate the academic and retail experience for our students. So really finding solutions to get students materials at the lowest cost possible. We have a scale and breadth of knowledge in that industry where we can really utilize that to offer the best products and services around the campus. We have the buying power to actually get the product right now, which maybe a year ago wouldn't have been a big deal, but is kind of a big deal right now, is that we are able to partner with different vendors and make sure that the store is stocked. There have certainly been some supply chain issues in the store, but I'm happy to say that right now the store is full of merchandise. So we're excited to be here and be able to partner with the campus and just kind of stay ahead of all these supply chain issues. And then we're really able to provide great e-commerce experience. We launched our new website last week. And one of the really great things on the new site is we have what's called a course concierge. So when a student goes to our website, if they log in, you are smiling like maybe you've seen it. If you log in with your student information, it'll actually give you your customized book list. So it used to link from My Nevada, but now you don't even have to link from your My Nevada with the new site. You can just go and log in with your student information. It will give you your book list based on the courses that you're enrolled in. So really just doing everything we can to make the student experience as easy and seamless as possible as they are getting their course materials for their semester. So on the next slide, really just still kind of talking about the lowest cost course material options. So we do have the widest selection of physical and digital course materials, making sure that we're offering all formats to students. So when available, we will offer students purchases, rentals, and digital in both new, used, and when we're digital, it's either buy or rent. And then price transparency on the website so you can really see how much your books are going to cost prior to registering for classes if you are doing that, and you can kind of have an idea of what that cost will be before you start school. We're course concierge, I already talked a little bit about that. And then we do have a faculty adoption portal. It's called Adoption and Insights Portal. Similarly to the student site, when a faculty member logs into this site, they see only the courses that they are teaching, and then they're able to do a one-click re-adopt if they're using the same materials as a previous semester. So really just trying to make that process as easy as possible. Some faculty members, chairs, deans, they'll have more access, they'll see more than just what they're teaching, but just trying to make that easy for our faculty. And then being able to offer courseware options that improve affordability, including OER, which is Open Educational Resources, if you guys aren't familiar with that term. If you've ever had a book that's like an OpenStax book, which is free online, really we just have the, we can support in that way. It's actually in the adoptions portal for faculty. There's a link for every course that says affordability options, and it will list any OER materials published that are in that category. So the faculty member would have to obviously decide if that were the right choice for their class, but we are here to fully support OER and the use of free and low-cost materials on campus. So for our financial review, so we did include, because last year was COVID and we had pretty low sales for the year last year, what I've included for you is basically our financials since we opened the store last July. So July of 2020 through October, the end of this last October, the store's done $6.3 million. For fiscal year 21, and our fiscal is different than your fiscal, we go May to April, sorry. But so for fiscal 21, which really started in July because that's when we got here, we did $3.4 million, and then so far year to date since May of 2021, we've done $2.9 million. So I think we're on track to hopefully hit at least $6 million for the year, which I think is really strong sales considering we didn't get a summer. I mean, we were open all summer, but we didn't really get in-person orientations in the same way that I think we would typically get. Same with graduation, and a lot of those do fall into this fiscal year for us. So really looking forward to continued growth here as we move forward. So I have our total textbook sales, and this is for that entire period, so basically since we have been here, is $3.7 million, just over $1 million in new, $1.1 million in new. Used is under 200,000. Publisher rentals, which are rental books, but they are rented by the publisher versus the store, and that's a publisher requirement, not a bookstore thing, was about 30,000. Access cards, which I'm sure you're all super familiar with as students, were just under 400,000. New book rentals, 233,000. Used book rentals, 138. The number that's the most exciting here is first day sales. First day is our course materials that are included with the cost of tuition. One of the requirements of the first day program is that those materials are under market value, meaning that you can't find that material in that format cheaper anywhere else, including direct from the publisher. And our first day sales are $1.4 million. The savings just in first day was about $950,000 off of the price of the full like version of that item. So really excited to continue to grow and expand the first day program here on campus. When we got here last summer, there were about 35 classes enrolled in the first day program for fall of 2020. Going into fall of 21, we had over 300 courses enrolled in first day. So that's been a major focus for us and the textbook department in the store, is to get more instructors and more courses on board with this model, which is really saving our students so much money. So hopefully we can continue to grow the program. There are some departments on campus that will not allow us to put their classes in first day. So we're kind of working through some of those. So hopefully we will get some of these departments on board with a lot of access cards, probably the ones you guys have purchased the most, like a My Math Lab, which cannot be put in the first day program, even though I could save students probably $1 million just with My Math Lab. Yeah. So we're hoping to get the math department to agree to letting their courses be a part of the program, so we can save students even more money, which is really why we're here, I think.
Who's the senator for math?
Yeah, who is it? Raise your hand. Yeah. Let's go talk. All right. So
okay, sorry. I don't want to rush you or anything. I just assume from spaces of sentences.
Yes. Okay, so general merchandise sales, we're at about 2.5 million, almost 2.6 million. And I kind of broke that down. The biggest area being clothing and gift items, that was 1.6 million, and that really includes most of the first floor of the store. The C store is just under 200,000. That was one of the hard hit areas last year and even over the summer with less students being on campus. School supplies is at 237,000. That department was slightly affected by supply chain issues going into the back to school, this last fall back to school, but we are looking forward to that getting better. Apple was under $500,000, I think heavily impacted by the digital Wolfpack initiative, which we were so happy to support and be a part of, but those sales did not flow through the store. So most new incoming students did not buy a computer or a tablet. Well, obviously they would buy a tablet, but most of them didn't buy a computer because they all received a new iPad Air with a Apple Pencil and a keyboard. So really excited for that program to continue, and we are supporting in that program any way we can. Trade books was 30,000. That's basically all of the books that are not textbooks. And then non-Apple electronics, which would be like headphones, chargers, that kind of stuff, was at 55. So for our first year, we did pay ASU on a commission of $1 million. So really excited to have been able to support ASUN in that way. I know that probably a good chunk of that went to things like our rent, but I think a good chunk of that is helping support student programs. So really excited to be able to support. One thing that we're just kind of starting to have conversations with campus partners about is a program that we call First Day Complete. So it's really about driving student success and affordability, and we're already doing that with our First Day by Course program, where it's just course specific. We do have the capability and would love to at some point in our time here at UNR be able to offer this complete model. First Day Complete, and you can go to the next slide, is a course material delivery model where all students would get all of their materials for all of the courses that they're enrolled in at a flat rate per credit hour. So everyone would know exactly how much they needed to spend on their course materials before coming to school. I think the average, and you can't quote me on this, should I say anything they can't quote me on? Maybe.
Feel free.
Okay. I think the average is about $20 per credit hour for First Day Complete. But they do go through and look at our entire course list, the book list, and kind of come up with a price per campus. And then the price would be subject to change every year as we reassess and figure out what that really cost. But that is kind of the model in which a lot of universities are moving towards, is really just giving students full transparency when it comes to course materials. And you're not going to sign up for the nursing program and find out that your first semester nursing books are $1,500. You're just, you know, this is the cost per credit hour. So there is a video. I think you guys have this in the box if you guys want to watch that. I know that we're tight on time, so I will not show you the video. It's like a 4-minute video. It's right here on this slide where it says approving student outcomes in that little box. Hopefully you guys have that in the box, in the Nevada box. And then one other thing that we've been doing is just trying to drive in-store traffic with Social Hub. You can go to the next slide. So we did a new student VIP event this year. It was so fun. We did it for 2 days. It was during that weekend. We had thousands of families coming into the store. We had giveaways. We invited clubs to come and do booths and set up games. We had our own games. We did some promo discounted like pricing. It was really fun. We rented out the what's that thing called? You guys have it here. Thank you. Like cotton candy machine. We got the popcorn machine. We were just really able to like bring in families and students, let them have a super fun experience. A lot of people came in. People would come in multiple times to play the games and do fun stuff. So it was really exciting. We're looking forward to doing some other events like De-Stress Fest during finals. We have opted out of doing that this semester because if you have been in the store recently, we are full on under construction, which is so exciting. But we didn't really have space to host an event right now. But looking forward to hosting lots of events moving forward. We have a new social hub going in with the new space, with the remodel where we can host book signings. We're already partnering with ASUN on trying to plan some of that out, and just hosting small events in the store. We're already talking about for spring doing like a hat decorating event for graduation. So just kind of having that space to do some fun events in the store and kind of bringing people into the store, have them see it as somewhere that they just want to be, even if it's not about buying anything, it's just about, oh, I'm going to go hang out in the store. Like, that's what we want to be for this campus. It's just a place where people can host events, have fun, hang out with their friends. So,
awesome.
So yeah, that's kind of the update that I have. I know that we probably don't have time, so we'll go to questions. I don't know if there's any other presentations after me, but I do have the graphics package for the new store if you guys would like to see that. I'll show you that as well.
Where can I, is it on the Nevada?
It is in the box. It was the bottom one. And we can like rush through this one. So let's go to slide 3, I think. So this is going to be the new customer service first floor of the store. If you've been in there recently, it's where there's a huge plastic thing and all of nothing. But really excited to bring in this new customer service elevation with the N logo, the ASUN logo. So that's going to kind of be that part. And then if we move on to the next slide, here you're looking at the like the tech shop area, the elevators there, and the stairs that go up. So we're bringing in all these really great Running Wolves graphics. That wall is going to have all the MacBook demos on it. That's going to be right in the middle of the tech shop and just really bring home the Wolfpack feel when you walk into this bookstore. So the next slide is more of that same graphic. This is the wall of the Apple store. So you can see we have the authorized campus store logo embedded on a wall covering, as well as the ASUN logo there. And then this is our like clothing wall. This is the back wall of the store. Right now we have Adidas right there. So bringing in some really cool graphics back there. And then bringing in that Richard Kipling poem, the one that has the strength of the wolf is the pack and the strength of the pack is the wolf. So excited to bring that in. And then wrapping two of the columns in the downstairs with the wolf pack and the paw prints, which will be cute because we have the paw prints on the ceiling already. So now it'll be like the wolf is going up the column to the ceiling. And then this next slide, slide 11, this is the social hub area. So you can see there's like a whiteboard, there's some moving chalkboards. Students could really come in and utilize that space anytime we weren't having an event and just kind of hang out. There's gonna be tables and chairs. So excited about bringing that to campus. On the next slide, you're gonna see the online order pickup. So instead of it being kind of just hanging out in the middle of for everyone to see, there's going to be, so it's four counters. Those ASUN logo and Tahoe are like sliding down. I can't think of the word, but you know what I'm trying to say. So excited about that. Then this will be the upstairs cash wrap. And then there's a little selfie spot with the picture of Maura Hall and the sign. So that's kind of the graphics for the new store. That's what's to come. We are so excited. It is going to be 90% done before back to school. Right now, they are thinking that they're not going to get the Apple store portion done before school starts. So everything else should be done. And then post back to school, then they'll do Apple. So probably in February. So 100% done. Hopefully by end of February at the absolute latest. I'm still praying for a miracle that they're like, oh no, we'll get Apple done. We'll do it. But they haven't told me that yet. So at the mercy of the contractors, but they're doing a great job. So it's been good. Okay.
Awesome. Are there any? Thank you so much.
Yes.
This looks amazing, by the way. I'm so excited for the wolf shop. It looks beautiful. Any questions from the body? Is that any of the worst?
So just going back to your financial performance, this is a very broad question. But looking at your sales and your net income from the wolf shop, now and perceived in the future, how much confidence do you have that the wolf shop will be able to make up the debt that it's accrued since before the Barnes & Noble College?
So she wouldn't know anything about that. That's not her debt. The debt doesn't belong to the partnership with Barnes & Noble. The debt started out at $2.8 million. Thus far, we have brought it down based on the $1 million transfer. They also bought all the merchandise and paid us for that merchandise from the old bookstore. Right now, we're down to about $1.6 million. So, Josh, I need you all to go shop at the Nevada Wolf Shop. Because the new contract, what happens is they're paying you all 15% in commission, and then anything up to $7 million, and then anything over $7 million, y'all make 17% commission. Remember, we still have to pay the rent also. Now, did you see that wall that showed Maura Hall? That's the wall that separates the space we gave away, which will now be the Dean of Students' office. So your rent will be going down next year to $250,000 from $300,000. Mm-hmm. So the expectation is, by the way, they also give $15,000 a year to scholarships. Yes, there is money that's going out to students. It's going to be hairy next 2 or 3 years. But did you notice how much power faculty have in this where books are concerned, right? Mm-hmm. It's a myth that you can get all your books cheaper elsewhere, and I can't seem to get that across to students. They also do the price matching. They also do the price matching. So remember, every book sale that goes somewhere else, that's your commission going down, right? And those monies are going to for-profit companies. these monies here are coming to actually support students on campus. Mm-hmm. So yeah, at some point I think it's important you also make a presentation to Senate.
Sure.
And then from here on out, what I'm going to do is every new Senate that gets elected, I want them to understand the ins and outs of how this bookstore works. It is not here. They make a profit, not to the extent they would have made if they were just Barnes & Noble on their own. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Senator Noble?
So I have a question about your First Day Complete program.
Sure.
Now, I know from experience a lot of professors will assign a certain textbook and say, essentially, it's okay if you can get this version, however, if you can't afford the latest version, then I will accept any version that's prior because all that changes are the case studies. And I understand that there's a very common situation where professors will allow some leniency on that front. I'm curious what flexibility your First Day Complete program has to allow the students to choose which version of their course materials they'd like, because there isn't just one.
So, because the program costs the same amount, regardless, and it's filled by credit hour, I don't know that the student would actually want a choice in that way. I understand the choice being that I can go find this for $3 somewhere, so I'm going to use the first edition when they're on the 15th. But when it's going to cost the student the same amount regardless, I don't see a student opting for an older version. If the course was made around an older version of a material, which there are for sure courses that the teacher is developed around an older version, the newer version doesn't have the same materials, then we would work on getting the version that the instructor has requested. Those are not always obtainable, especially in full class sets. So we would work with the instructor to identify the best version for the class based on what materials were available. A lot of those go digital too. So if it were digital material, often we can get any edition that the teacher would prefer. Within reason, first editions of some books are so old that there weren't digital versions back then, but within reason. So usually that choice would go to the instructor and they would choose the best option for all of their students in that format.
All right.
You have a follow-up?
Yeah, I suppose my follow-up would be, how does a student opt out of this if they want to?
Students would have an opt-out option for the entire program, so they can't opt out by class if we were doing First Day Complete. But they could opt out, and it would be similar to the opt-out in the regular First Day program. I don't know if you've ever been in one of those courses, but when you log into Canvas, it shows you your materials under the First Day tab, and you just hit opt out. There would be an opt-out date, usually the last day to add the class. It's like within a week of the first week of class to opt out.
So the matching prices does not apply to First Day since it's flat rate?
Correct.
All right.
All right. Any other questions from the body?
Want to make sure right now the students for the other program,
yes,
that would benefit the most would be like engineering students, school of medicine students, nursing students. How much is your bill, Josh, for books?
Like $300 usually every semester.
Minimum
for all of your books?
For all
your books? That's really low.
$700.
Yeah, like $7.
Right.
Yeah.
I think most students are closer to that. So if you're really looking at like $20 a credit hour and you're looking at under $300,
yeah,
that is really good cost savings. You don't have to spend the time. I think a lot of students put in a lot of effort finding the best price, and then sometimes you actually don't get the best priced item. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it kind of eliminates that need for the students.
Any other questions? Okay, seeing none, thank you so much for giving this review and showing us these
Sorry
beautiful images. Oh, no worries. I think we're all okay on classes, or else.
I hope so.
But yeah, that concludes the financial reviews for now. Moving on to agenda item 7, public comment. Is there any public comment at this time? Okay, seeing none, moving on to agenda item 8, adjournment. I adjourn this meeting at 1:06 p.m. Thank you so much.